Nau mai, haere mai. Welcome to the Maxim Institute podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm the Communications Manager at Maxim Institute. This is our weekly short-form podcast. These podcasts are released in tandem with our weekly column and are a chance for you to hear in-depth from the column's author about some of the thinking that went into producing their final piece. Today, we talk to Maxim researcher Thomas Scrimger about his recent column. Thomas, welcome along to the podcast, mate. First time, it's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
We are talking about your first column for Maxim, How to Build Political Immortality, which sounds very impressive. And what you're talking about is building a legacy of politicians being remembered for something like Rogernomics, which may be not the best legacy, but something that they're remembered for. And you've chosen the perennial topic of housing, which is constantly being talked about. We actually did an issue, volume 9 of Flint and Steel, on the topic of housing. And you've chosen it for your column. And you've talked about kind of the journey from the medium density residential standards, or MDRS, from 2021 through to today. So take us through that journey. What was the medium density residential standards, and what was it trying to fix? And how did we get where we are today?
Big question, Jason.
Just a couple of minutes, you know?
Just a brief essay. Well, I think, you know, we all know housing has been a long-standing problem. I mean, going back to 2017, when the Ardern government came in, they were speaking a lot about housing. Obviously, there was the Kiwi build, which was a challenge for them. But they actually had a range of other policies as well. We have a massive housing shortage. The problem, the reason houses are so expensive, is that we don't have enough. Yeah. It's a pretty kind of basic economic problem in that sense. So what ended up happening was Labor was wanting to upzone the whole country, allow more houses to be built that are larger than currently the rules allow. And so they came up with this medium density residential standards, the three dwellings up to three stories tall on huge amounts of urban property in Aotearoa. But they knew that, you know, for this policy to endure, it's just a set of rules. It's really easy to change. How do you make those rules stick? How do we make it so this is the new normal?
So just to clarify, this was a blanket policy that across all urban centres, they would say this is the minimum standard that you have to apply. You can go beyond this, but minimum three dwellings, three stories.
Yeah, so there were exceptions. It wasn't an absolutely everywhere, but that was the baseline rule, that by and large, urban area would be zoned to allow townhouses, essentially.
And so they wanted this to be the new norm. What did they do?
Well, what they did was that they reached out across the aisle to the National Party. The bill in 2021 was passed with a supermajority, which isn't necessarily that common for particularly kind of controversial legislation. But Judith Collins was the leader of the National Party, and so she was at this press conference. It was quite an event, really.
I remember that.
I was working and kind of saw the notification come up on my phone. So I actually watched the press conference back in the day because I was a bit of a tragic, really. but so, you know, you had Judith Collins standing there beside Labor government ministers saying that this was going to be the new normal for New Zealand housing policy.
Okay, so fast forward to the election season last year. And something happened during the election trail that meant that actually this isn't the new normal.
Yes, well, you know, astute followers of politics, might, you know, be aware that Judith Collins was not, in fact, the leader of the National Party in the most recent election. National had a leadership change. Christopher Luxon was on the campaign trail or in a sort of pre-campaign timeframe. And he just says this like really brief statement: I think we've got the MDRS wrong.
Kind of thinking off the top of his head, at the spur of the moment sort of a thing.
Well, it might not have been spur of the moment, but it wasn't launched as like a big, this is our policy. And really perhaps what was going on there is that a lot of homeowners who perhaps vote National at higher rates than the rest of the population were not that happy with townhouses being built next door. People who are happy in the homes they are in perhaps don't want their neighborhoods to change that radically. And so National was campaigning for an election and wanting to shore up their base. And so backtracked on this policy that the National Party had signed up to, but not Christopher Luxon specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so where are we at now? That was pre-election. Now National's in government. What are they doing since they, quote, got the MDRS wrong?
So early days at this stage, the Minister for Housing now is Chris Bishop. And what's interesting is that he was perhaps one of the staunchest advocates for National signing up for the MDRS. He's sort of part of the perhaps urban liberal wing of the National Party. He's very much pro-development in his own kind of greater Wellington region. He's long been an advocate for that. But he's been given the task of providing a replacement because despite wanting to walk back from the MDRS, you can disagree with that as a mechanism, but the problem still remains.
We still need more houses.
We need more houses. Yeah, yeah. That's just going to keep being true. We keep falling behind. We're not getting closer to solving the problem.
So what's his solution that, well, he's indicated there hasn't been any bills or anything proposed, but what's the indication?
Yeah, so we haven't had any legislation, but he has given a cabinet paper which was released. And he was quite forthright in his language. He wants to flood the market with available urban land for development. So very much it's this same sort of end goal. We need lots more houses, and the way to allow that is to zone so that more houses can be built. Council rules can prevent houses, and so clearing the way a bit for more houses to be built. But he's got a different strategy.
Okay.
The details still to be finalized a little bit, but the first step is to require councils to zone for 30 years growth. The next 30 years of houses need to be able to be built now, but councils get to choose how that's done.
So that's a bit of a nebulous term, 30 years growth in inverted commas there, because that's not going to look the same across the country, is it? So like...
No, so the country will grow at different rates. Now, kind of almost all of the growth in New Zealand happens in Auckland, Hamilton and Tauranga. But also the amount that we expect to grow over 30 years will be very contested and also not controlled by councils. Councils don't control immigration settings. And so I expect this is where his approach might be a bit fraught, because one of the ideas I'm kind of kicking around in the column is that Chris Bishop has a new approach and a new strategy that risks being derailed, because if councils kind of rig the definition of 30 years growth, they can say, look, we already have that, or maybe only a little bit more, but not really allow things to change.
So I guess part of the tension here that you've indicated is that there are some people who, residents who don't want intensive housing built in their backyards, and so they didn't like the MDRS. But then there are some councils who might say, well, if we're going to build outside of our current urban centres, it's going to cost us money to provide water pipes, electricity pipes, infrastructure out to these new builds. So we might not want to zone all the way out there either. So he's kind of walking a tight balance here, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you think about it, if a small flat gets demolished in West Auckland and three townhouses are built, that can be plugged into existing pipes and so is relatively cheap from an infrastructure standpoint. The roads are still there. They might need an upgrade and, you know, there's all these tweaks you have to do, but the core infrastructure is already there. When you do greenfields development, you have to build the new pipes. You have to extend all the roads and there's all these extra costs. Now, by and large, because councils represent the interests of people who own property, they're more likely to vote. They're more heavily involved in local government politics.
They pay rates.
They pay rates, yeah. And so they see that cost directly as opposed to the rates being passed on in the form of rent. They're more likely to prefer greenfields overall in New Zealand. But there's still this financial cost to them. Even someone like Wayne Brown, who's not sort of the young professional urbanite who's kind of got that vision, still recognises and has said that it's development in Drury as opposed to more closer to the centre of Auckland just costs his council more money.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of tension there as well.
So how has Chris Bishop indicated he might solve that cost problem for councils?
So one of the policies that's been floated, and I think it comes actually out of the ACT Party, but Bishop has taken it up, is the idea of GST sharing. So new builds are really expensive processes. A lot of money is being spent, and the government clips the ticket with GST on all those transactions, as they do with all business exchanges. But the policy idea is simply that, well, if these new builds are happening, perhaps councils should see that revenue, not central government, because then you remove this perverse incentive that it costs us money to allow more people to move in. And actually, no, it earns us money. Therefore, councils have a positive reason to allow growth and not simply a negative one.
Cool. So he's trying to maybe move away from central command of this is how minimum standard you must do. He's still doing that a little bit with you need to zone for 30 years of growth, but then he's potentially involving the councils as well by saying you can earn some money off this. Here's a way forward. So hopefully walking the line.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
And so very much the devil is in the details and I'm waiting to see.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously hopeful, but don't want to, you know, count the chickens before they've hatched. I mean, there are some interesting developments even since writing this column. Wellington has just had their big debate about zoning and they've allowed significantly more housing to be built. And so there are reasons to think perhaps the culture is shifting a little bit in New Zealand for allowing housing, but there's no reason to think that there won't be a pushback as well. And so it really remains to be seen.
Political immortality still up for grabs. Thanks exactly. for being with us, Thomas. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. Politics is a quest for immortality. Every politician is faced with the eternal question, will what I build endure? In Ozymandias, the English romantic poet Percy Shelley eulogized the statue of a once great king. Nothing beside remains. Around the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. He might well have been writing about New Zealand's decisive rejection of Ardernism. Christopher Luxon's coalition has spent its first 100 days methodically euthanizing the previous government's flagship projects. One prominent victim of the election is housing policy. Labour's most significant response to housing unaffordability was the 2021 Medium Density Residential Standards, MDRS. Three dwellings, three stories. Realising that any intervention needed to last beyond their term of government, Labour magnanimously reached across the aisle to National, and the law was passed with a supermajority. Only ACT dissented. The then leader of the opposition, Judith Collins, said, "Today is truly a historic moment for New Zealand, a time when our two major political parties stepped up to give Kiwis the right to build." Nicola Willis and Chris Bishop championed a Labour government bill as a major step forward towards greater housing affordability in New Zealand. The MDRS was secure as an enduring legacy of the 6th Labour government. Until it wasn't. Nearly 2 years and a leadership change later, Christopher Luxon announced at a public meeting, "I think we've got the MDRS wrong." Chris Bishop, the staunchest advocate for National's involvement in the MDRS, is now tasked with producing its replacement. Bishop's alternative vision is more subtle than his predecessor's, but is all the more fraught for it. The MDRS was wide-reaching. It preferred intensification over sprawl, and it had limited carve-outs, running roughshod over much local decision-making. Bishop's plan, by contrast, is agnostic on where and how the houses are to be built. Councils just need to immediately zone for 30 years of growth. The risk is that council autonomy results in a finessed definition of 30 years of growth, which blocks development. Bishop points to financial incentives such as GST sharing and his right to final sign-off as the minister as reasons to think his approach will work. As ever, the devil will lie in the details. At one level, this is a disagreement about two rival visions for an urbanist nation: force intensification or allow sprawl. However, perhaps the more important difference is the two rival visions of political immortality. Labour sought to achieve that in Parliament, across the aisle, but that policy was subject to the whims of a new leader. Bishop's route seeks security elsewhere. The new plan hopes that council participation and healthy financial incentives blunt the most serious opposition. This urbanism by consent runs the risk of interest group capture, undermining the housing reforms before the foundations are laid. But should he get the details right and excise the devil, Bishop's housing reforms rest on surer ground. Indeed, they might just bring him what every politician seeks: immortality.
Thanks for listening to the Maxim Institute podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us and keep up with the rest of our research and analysis of politics and policy in New Zealand, you can sign up on the homepage of our website to get our monthly forum email and invitations to future Maxim Institute events. You can search and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. From the team at Maxim, mā te wā, goodbye for now.